This is You've Binge Challenged. I'm Craig Collins, and this week I'm very excited. I have two guests in studio for an intense show. I'm going to call this show intense, and I don't know if these people will agree with me, but Sarah, you are sitting right across from me. Tell us who you are and why you challenged me to this show, because you were the one dropping the challenge this week.
I was. So I'm Sarah Thiemann. I work here at the station as the promotions and PR manager.
Yes, yes.
And I love Criminal Minds.
I'm actually really surprised at that, by the way, because of all the shows that you could have challenged me to, knowing you and knowing your personality a little bit, I did not expect intense legal slash, you know, law drama show as your thing, slash criminal, whatever it is. And it's I got really disturbed by moments in the show that I will get to, but first I'll introduce my other guests we have here. We have Rachel Woodall sitting with us. You were on my most recent binge. We did The Office. This is a starkly different TV show than The Office, but that's okay. That's awesome.
Yes.
So my biggest criticism, and I'll get into this right away, Sarah, is when people ask me to do something for this podcast, I have to binge watch it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And Criminal Minds alone, several episodes in a row, scares the crap out of me. It puts me in such a weird place because like somebody gets murdered and then somebody else, something terrible happens. And then I'm sitting there, six episodes have gone by and I'm just alone by myself and I'm afraid someone's going to attack me. So that was the first gift you gave me.
Thank you.
Thank you for that.
I was hoping
that Jason Gideon was going to come from somewhere and just make sure that I was okay. Because I really like that character too, by the way. So maybe we should get into that. It's a very interesting show. And they do a really good job of having kind of an intriguing plot line. It actually reminded me a lot of House. I don't know if you've seen House before.
Sure.
It's the criminal version of House. Because in the first few episodes I saw in the first season, the main character Gideon is doing something else when he realizes what the one piece of evidence that he's forgetting is. He's kind of inspired randomly. And that's a house thing. That's what I would call directly a house thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting around, you don't know what's going on with someone, and then all of a sudden you're playing catch and you realize everything, right? So I like that aspect of the show because I really do love House. I'm just not exactly sure if it's the best show to binge. Although you binged it as well, but you did it with someone else, I assume.
Yeah, so I started watching some of the show on like ION and some of those other random cable stations.
Yeah.
And I don't know, one day I was like, oh my God, we really need to watch Criminal Minds from like the beginning to the end.
We gotta dive right in. And it's all on Netflix.
So, and exactly. Mm-hmm. And of course, then you have that terrible feeling that they could pull all of the seasons on
Netflix,
because they do that randomly.
Oh,
they
no.
just stop with like shows and you're like, I didn't stop watching that.
That is an excellent point. And I have that fear constantly as well, that if you dive into something and you want to get through all of it, like Gilmore Girls, I got as soon as it got on Netflix, but still I was afraid that it was going somewhere.
And I did the same thing with Scandal. We watched it from episode one, season one, through before it got weird and wacky and Shonda Rhimes goes all crazy.
Do you follow those when this show is leaving kind of thing? Doesn't Netflix also do like You Have 10 Days Left?
Well, actually, since I started working here at WGN, we always post it.
Yeah, there you go. So now you have it.
I read that too.
So now I always read it and I always scan to make sure.
So what would happen if you were like five seasons into an 11 season long show and you found out it was ending in 2 weeks?
I would watch a lot faster.
You know, I was looking at how many episodes there were because you talked about binging it. And the first time I saw this show was on Mother's Day this year with my mom. She loves Criminal Minds. And I was like, what do you want to do today? And she said, well, I feel kind of sick. So do you just want to watch some Criminal Minds with me? But
so sure, Mom.
I'd only seen like seven episodes. And then I looked up how many there were.
There's a lot of episodes.
255.
Yeah.
And then I was doing the rough math and it would take like 3 days straight to
watch
all of that.
Yeah, without any sleep whatsoever.
I didn't binge them all.
Thank you, Rachel. Neither did I. No, that's something I learned very early on in this podcast. Someone would challenge me to something. And you've seen everything, Sarah.
Yes.
You are a super fan. There's tons of questions I can't ask you. So at some point, I'm just going to have you start filling in pieces of information I don't know.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I learned that very early on in my podcast that I can't watch all this stuff and actually do one each week, because then my bosses would fire me because they'd know I was doing no other work.
Well, here's the funny thing to me about binge watching something like with the Criminal Minds, because we were up against this potential Netflix might pull all of the series.
Don't pull it.
My husband and I would watch it together, and we'd watch it every time we came home from work or sometimes on weekends. We're like, we would look at each other when the episode would end and we're like, oh, we can watch one more. So it was sort of like this, like, gotta keep going.
What's the latest you stayed up watching the show?
Probably two or three in the morning.
Is that really late for you? I don't know.
Oh,
for
I'm
me,
a total night owl.
Okay, got
so
it.
So I probably could have gone.
You could have kept going.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. And your husband, he can't do that though?
No, he would do the same thing.
Oh, got
but,
it.
You know, sometimes when it's a like a school night per se, you got
yeah. You have to do other stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, and plus, by the way, like I said, I at times watch 7 or 8 episodes of this in a row, and I don't recommend that to any human.
You know what I did yesterday?
Go ahead.
I watched 4 episodes, and my boyfriend was in the other room, like watching UFC and stuff. And I'm like, it's okay, you don't need to watch this. Then I took a break, went and saw Civil War
okay.
the second time.
Good.
This week.
That's good.
And then that was a nice, like, light thing on my brain, all the
yeah.
superheroes fighting. And then I watched 3 more. And on my way to my car this morning, I thought I was going to get attacked. Like, I'm so paranoid right now.
No, me too. No, exactly. I'm really scared. And I actually have a palate cleanser. It's something that I do in between binge watch when I binge a show that's actually more drama, or because I like a comedy, I'm a comedy guy, but I will watch these drama shows for people and then get very afraid. So my palate cleanser is Family Guy, which is not a show I really love, yeah. but something about no. Family Guy just wipes my brain from anything else that just happened, because it's not really a smart show, it's not even really funny anymore, but there's something about the characters and the fact that I like them at some point that, like, yeah, this is perfect. One Family Guy and now 6 more episodes of Murder Death.
Well, do you get freaked out?
You know, it's funny because I actually hate, like, horror films.
Yeah.
And there was, I can't remember the movie name, but there was that one movie, maybe it was The Ring, where the girl at some point comes out of
the television.
The yeah. television.
Yep, that's, yep.
I was watching that by myself when I lived alone, and mm-hmm. I swear to God, at that, my apartment, I think, was very sensitive to static, so my stereo would, like, randomly go on.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's so like, bad.
Oh, like, I slept for several nights with the lights on. And, like,
no, like, for sure. I had a nightlight this whole time.
Yeah.
After you challenged me to this, there was a nightlight every night.
But apart from, like,
the scary ass, no, so yeah, to get into some of the great yeah. stuff about it, I really like some of the characters and then the way that they're sort of, because that's the other thing that's great about shows like this, is even though each week we have a new case and kind of new drama, we get to learn so much about these characters throughout all the seasons. They
yep.
kind of, they date at times, I think, mm-hmm. and like all that stuff happens. Dr. Spencer Reed is one of my favorite characters.
Yes,
and actually, in the first season, you can tell that maybe he's supposed to have some sort of, I'm a genius, but not really. I can't put the pieces together as well as Gideon can, so that was his sort of supporting role. But obviously, once Gideon leaves, he becomes the main brain of the entire show.
Yes.
And that is, I think, really lucky, because he, to me, is a more intriguing person. He's a little bit different than the darkness that was Gideon, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's interesting with, I think he's a good representation. I've always read that people with a really high IQ have, you know, difficult time relating with other people.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's a perfect example of that.
Mm-hmm.
The character that Shamar Moore plays, Derek Morgan, he kind of becomes like a father figure, like a, you know, more of a big brother, I'd say, to Spencer Reed.
Right.
And it helps a lot that Spencer Reed is super hot.
So is Derek Morgan.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I was figuring.
Yeah, I won't even get into my sadness of Derek Morgan leaving the show in season 11, not to spoiler alert.
So what did you think, though, of the main casting difference from Gideon to then getting Joe Mantegna?
You know, at first...
That's how I say his name, Rachel. You laugh all you want. Joe Mantegna.
It might be Mantegna.
No, I know, but I say it the way that all the letters look, so uh-huh. to me it's Mantegna.
Nice.
I don't even know if I said it right that time, but go ahead.
You know, I think it's really hard when shows have characters that come on and leave, because
yeah.
you sort of get attached to people.
Yeah.
And think, like, you're my best friend, or, like, I really relate to you, or, you know.
Gideon would be nobody's best friend, by the way, though.
I don't know. Like, you're inviting these people into your home every night, and you kind of feel like
oh,
a
yeah.
sense of,
oh, yeah.
you know, kinship and camaraderie with them. And, you know, I thought it was an interesting role to see Mandy Patinkin in that role. I've been familiar with him and
mm-hmm.
obviously his Princess Bride and
sure.
you know, his theater work and musical work. So seeing him in this kind of darker role, I really liked him. You know, he
yeah.
brought some kind of gruff and grit.
He brought the house character. He was the house of the show.
Yes.
House is not a nice guy. He's, you know, he does a lot of really weird stuff. But at the end of the day, he's the genius that's going to figure everything out. That was the character. And then I was also intrigued that they didn't full on replace that character, because the people that they have now sort of all cover a part of that role.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no one actually does exactly what Gideon was doing.
Right.
And then they reference him. And then I think you said before we started the podcast here that they also kill him.
Yeah. I want to say it might be season 9 or 10. 10, I'd have to go back.
Do you know why they would do that? Like, you left the show, we're going to make it 6 seasons long, and then we're going to kill you.
Well, actually, before we did this, I was doing some internet research this morning on the train, and they just kind of decided that he was never going to come back, and it seemed like a natural progression just to kind of bring him up, because he is referenced
in all the time
of the other seasons after he leaves. Spencer Reed brings him up a lot, and it's really hard actually when he dies that, you know, Spencer grieves for him, and you just want to reach through and give him a
big
hug.
Not the same. I don't have the exact same feelings as you guys. Now, I do. I'm very intrigued by that whole thing, though, because even for the showrunners, even the show creators, they obviously, everyone was very surprised. I read the way that Mandy Patinkin left the show, and apparently at the beginning of season 3, and he's in the first episode, he actually drives away from the crime scene after a solved case, never to return again, sort of like all these other people on shows that we see that just disappear. And I guess he left notes to all the actors just saying, I'm sorry, I really dislike the content. I don't like the rape, murder stuff that's going on every single week. It's too hard for me, so I'm out. I'm done. And that's a very intriguing way to sort of just up and leave a show.
Well, and I think with him, it kind of became a catalyst, because there's usually one role that maybe lasts for a season or maybe two seasons tops, and then they have to go search for a new character to replace that role. So now there's a big hole with Derek Morgan being gone, and
it sounds very sad for everyone. That sounds like everyone will not get over that. Like killing Jon Snow.
It is. I'm his baby girl. I mean, me and probably everyone else in this world.
Penelope is one of his baby girls, though.
Love her.
She's the original baby girl.
Right. She's the original baby girl.
All of us are just pseudo baby girls, wannabe baby girls, we'll say.
I'll tell you, I was watching the first season, like I said, and then I decided that I had to get a better perspective of the show. And since main characters leave, you can't do that by watching all the first season. So I jumped to a random episode, I think, in like the 10th season or something, and someone gets killed with lethal injection, and Penelope has to like witness that. That was the next episode I jumped to, is there's a guy in prison who attacked people, but I don't know who he attacked or what he's doing, because I don't have a perspective on that. But apparently Penelope still sort of cares about him, and then full cries to Derek Morgan. This was a rough scene, but I was even attracted to that guy during that moment, because that seemed like he was really knight in shining armor, like coming in to save the day at the very end.
Well, and that's why they have really the Penelope Garcia character, because she's the foil to all these guys going out into the field and seeing all the gruesome stuff. She's protected behind her, you know, computer screen, kind of digging into all of their, you know, bad dealings online and finding out what all these creepers are up to.
Right.
And she's protected from seeing the brutality. They won't show her pictures, or even in every scene when she has a picture to show them, she'll just kind of sidestep it. So I think she's meant to, because not all of us are like,
I doubt you watch Arrow, but she's like the Felicity of the show.
Sure.
Felicity is the one that actually gives everyone perspective, like a fan would. Like, if I got loose on the set for a day, that's Penelope.
Well, I watched one where Penelope, somebody from her grief support group that she runs, got kidnapped. And so
Jesus.
Was actually kind of thrown into the action, and she was so good. I kind of thought she was a little bit annoying before that. I don't know why.
Yeah.
And then I saw the very human side of her being shoved into the situation like one of us would, and damn, she's awesome.
You bring it, Penelope. You bring it.
Yeah.
No, I like that a lot, too. It's they're such interesting characters to portray, too, actually, those characters, because it reminds me of Suki St. James at times. There's kind of a cuteness to what she does all the time, which can get annoying, but you're right. The minute that she gets thrust into the actual action, or she full cries after watching a guy get lethal injected, which I was ready to cry, too. Again, very emotional, the show.
Well, and it's one of those things, too. It brings up, and not to get all philosophical
Please do
on it.
It,
but speaking of something like a lethal injection, you know, the pro-death penalty, anti-death penalty.
Oh, no,
and
for sure.
She sees all the signs of what the case was about, and she kind of got a little close, and that's why she went to be a witness. He didn't have any other family, so he had kind of sort of befriended her, and that's how she wound up being there.
Yeah, no, we can talk about the beautiful moving part of that message, and not just the scary death part.
Yeah.
No, because it is truly great, and let's zero in on something then. The character who's going to be killed, the criminal, he says that he just needs someone to see him. He needs someone to be there to witness him. And actually, she triggers that by saying something the same when she's calling Derek Morgan to, you know, beg to hang out with that guy. So it was very interesting to me to sort of maybe state in a way that death penalty might be bad. It's, you know, it was kind of subtle, but I think that's part of the message, too, is that this is a very dramatic thing that we do to people, and maybe it's not so great.
And there don't get me wrong, there are points in her, like maybe early on or here and there, she does things that really like drive me crazy about her. But, you know, I guess it's the same thing with your best friend. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, you don't love your best friend.
Not all the time. You know,
nope. Sometimes you just want to throttle them.
Unless they're listening right now.
Right. And then yes. We all love them a lot.
Hello, best right. friends.
You
love
pay for
you.
Pizza next time. So tell us some of your other favorite characters or some of your other favorite maybe episodes. Since, again, I know that Rachel and I both jumped around in the show. We have a base on it. But Sarah, give us some stuff.
Well, I obviously love Derek Morgan and Spencer Reed. Those were,
yeah.
But hotties aside.
Uh-huh. They're not the same kind of hottie, by the way, right?
No.
Like if we're talking, those are two stark different. And probably everyone who watches the show doesn't think they're both hotties. I think they're probably, it's like a Team Jacob and Team, what's the other guy?
Edward.
So you guys have to be Team one or the other, but it seems like both of you are actually Team both.
Oh, for sure.
And also the handsome Aaron.
Aaron Hochner.
I wrote down, because I'm really bad with names, so I wrote down like their identifiers. So I wrote uh-huh. Handsome Superman next to him.
Handsome yes. Superman. Okay, but he is a little bit old for you, Rachel. I think that he's the older boss guy.
So yes. Was Robert Downey Jr., but...
and very store. And he was... Greg on Dharma and Greg.
He was. No, I had to really pull that out of my brain, actually, mm-hmm. The first season in. I'm like, Greg's doing stuff.
Yep.
This is a very odd Greg character.
Yep.
Yeah. No, but tell me, go ahead. You don't have to tell me the difference between the two hotties and which one you prefer and why, but I think you were saying something else about, do you like the interaction of those two characters a lot then? Are there episodes focused on both of them being, like, off and doing something?
Yeah, so Spencer has, you know, they've all actually had a really tough time because it's not all about, you know, the murder and the bad stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of going into the character's past.
Right.
So Derek, it was a Chicagoan.
Nice.
Which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So they did do some shots here in Chicago. And he had an awful story, a background of where his father was a Chicago cop, ended up getting murdered.
Yeah.
Then he kind of found this group to kind of help mentor them. And one of the guys in the group ended up, unfortunately, abusing him. So he kind of goes back to revisit that.
Right.
And he's just like the badass who, like, you know, jumps in to like yeah. save the day and like knock the guy out. And
right. He got thrown out of a window or something at some point.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, of course. He's going to be fine, too. You weren't scared at all when that guy was thrown out of a window. You're like, he's fine.
Well, there's moments like, in fact, coming up to the season finale of season 11.
The most recent season? The
yes,
one? Okay.
I tend to get a little anxious so when I watch some of these episodes sometimes, and I'll get really worried that like something bad is going to happen. And
yeah.
Leading into season 11, I had read that a major character was going to be leaving. So I wasn't sure how they were going to be
Muffins.
Leaving, if there was, you know, death in
And you now
future.
Know what character that is.
Yes.
And we've talked about it.
Yes.
Derek Morgan is no longer a part of the show.
I know. Thank you.
And so what happened? Did he die?
No, actually, he...
Because he can't, right? He's a Superman character.
He's really... It's a pretty story. He ends up falling in love.
Aw.
They're dating. She's a doctor. Hmm. And then they end up having a kid. Now, it was a bit of a weird storyline because this weird group came in to, like, kind of, like, go after him. And,
what?
Like, they tortured him for... like an episode.
Well, you can't let the guy leave the show without a little torture. That
right.
makes sense. You got to get a torture scene in there.
So that really bothered me. And then it came again in the next episode where they were fine. And then they snipered him. But they didn't hit him. They actually hit his pregnant wife.
Oh,
they
gosh.
Sniped his pregnant wife?
Yes.
And she's okay, though.
Yes. So she ended
No TV show should ever kill a pregnant woman.
Terrible.
I'm just going to say that right
agree,
now. That
yes.
should never ever happen. Okay, so they sniped his pregnant wife.
Yeah, so
she
gets rushed into the hospital. They save the baby.
Good.
But then after that, and they won't let Derek work the case. They're like, Derek, you have
of course
to
not, yeah.
be removed. You
yeah.
know, we're going to... So I think he kind of starts to see his team, the BAU, you know, from the other side and
right.
realizing, you know, I'm a husband, I'm going to be a dad, and I just...
Is that what happens to the Jennifer Love Hewitt character, too? Because she just popped into the show, and she was gung-ho and ready to go, but then the BAU, it seems like that's an intense difference from what anyone else that's maybe brought in from the outside is doing.
Yeah, so with her character, she...
I like that we're talking about Jennifer Love Hewitt, who's on for, like, a season, but captivated me.
Like, well, yeah, she was I really liked her character, actually,
yeah.
and I kind of find Jennifer Love Hewitt a bit annoying.
So oh, I'm yeah, saying, no, I
I'm
don't.
I'm sorry, Jennifer Love
Hewitt. I do not find her annoying. Go ahead, you were saying?
No, her story is she's a stepmom to her niece.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, her nieces were killed. Her niece's parents were killed in September 11th.
Oh.
So she adopts her niece. I know you guys are looking at me like.
Now, well, okay, so let's say this about recapping the show. It is really tough material, but they do it very well. And there's other shows that do this too. I talked about The West Wing during my super long Christmas episodes podcast where I talked about the 10 best Christmas episodes with a couple people. And The West Wing takes on really intense moments. They take on homeless people that served in the military, homeless veterans. And if you portray the stuff right, it actually is very moving and sort of inspiring even to say something like that.
Right.
So I imagine the show was still inspiring even though she, you know, had all that difficulty.
Well, yeah, and they don't really dwell much about that, but it kind of comes up to give you a bit of a backstory. And
right.
then she ends up getting, you know, having her own baby that she gets pregnant. And then there's an online stalker kind of episode where
Holy
her niece comes
muffins.
In. You know, like,
sure.
with, like, creepers who are online, like, looking for kids, basically, that they write an episode of
okay,
that.
Okay, I saw an episode where they were selling people, too. There's a couple times where they, like, sell. They take on a lot of rough stuff.
Yeah,
a lot
so
of kids.
They target the girls, her you know, adopted daughter and the dirt girl's friend.
Wow.
And they actually try to meet these guys because, of course, the guy sends them a picture of, like, I'm a hot, you know, 12-year-old. And if you're a girl 12-year-old, you're like, oh, sweet, hot boy likes me. And, I mean, it's like you kind of have to stop and think, holy crap,
well, and
this
that,
is happening in the
like, right, and that stuff is happening. So that's what's so scary about it. There's an episode where a guy just likes body parts. So he's buying body parts online and he's like, you know, maintaining the body parts. And he's a married man with two kids. That was an odd kind of thing. He's in the garage trying to pull out his body parts to enjoy them, question mark. And his child runs in to the garage and is like, Dad, I just want like a yogurt. Yeah. And it was such an odd transition. And he's like, get out of here. You can't go in the garage because he's got body parts in there. That, again, that's why I needed Family Guy episodes. Mm-hmm. There were moments when I had to be like, okay, I just want to know what Peter Griffin is going to do, and I know it's stupid, and it's going to make me feel better.
But see, here in my defense, because now Please, you all think I'm a
no,
crazy person.
No, we're not judgy.
No,
it's, we're
no,
not.
No.
Right. I'm super impressed that you binged the show and liked that. But
yeah,
go ahead.
Well, here's why I think it speaks to me, because if only the real world were like this, that if you could go in, you could call in the BAU or call in the law enforcement, and in 45 minutes, they can, you know, track down the bad guy. Because really, you figure after commercials, it's about 45, 50 minutes.
I think so.
You whoosh in, you profile the person, you rally the troops, and you kind of put all these pieces together. You have some amazing computer whiz like a Penelope Garcia who can, you know, figure out all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And in 45 minutes, you solve a case.
What I like better about this than like SVU, which I'm obsessed with, is that they always find the person, what do they call it? The unsub?
The unsub.
Yeah.
Pretty much right away. And then you get to like delve more into their psyche and why they did it instead of seeing three or four wrong suspects. And you're like, oh, it's only 15 minutes and this clearly isn't the guy.
Right.
It's more about the process of actually catching. And they're so smart. Penelope, I watched one where she needed to find a specific like 911 dispatch call or something. And she says, oh, you know, there's 1 billion calls made a night or whatnot. And then she finds it and she finds a guy in the ride. That's like 20 minutes in. And then you spend the other half of the show delving more into why they did it.
Right.
And maybe that's why it's a little bit less disturbing, too.
Yeah.
Is that it's not just, oh, there's a serial rapist. Let's catch him. It's like, why is he doing this? Why is he so crazy?
There's moments in the show where they actually say that these people had no hope. They give the background of a person and they say, based on all these things that he went through, this horrible childhood that this character had, he was doomed to be a terrible person.
Yeah.
And that is a very interesting thought in and of itself. And then that's actually the way in which they can profile these people so quickly, which kind of confused me psychologically because I am one that enjoys psychology.
Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job of profiling these people to an almost ridiculous sort of extent, which is what you said, I guess. We wish that this exists, but it's probably not logically possible to see six different things in a crime scene and then know that the guy drives a red like Range Rover. That seems very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was very interesting to me that happens too. Okay, so we've gotten a little off track, but what are some other things that you really like? Maybe other episodes, other moments, romances? Because like you said, the characters matter. So what relationships do you really like on the show?
With Spencer Reed, he becomes the god godfather. I had to think about that. Godfather of the character played by A.J. Cook, Jennifer Giroux.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's kids are always like growing up so fast in the TV world. But there was an episode recently where one of her oldest boy comes running in and sees Spencer, and they're kind of even dressed alike.
Aww.
And one Christmas, he dresses up like Dr. Spencer Reed.
What?
Yeah.
So it's his child?
No.
Okay, I'm just assuming it's his child somehow.
No, she.
We eventually find out that it's his kid.
Yeah, no, she met a cop in New Orleans when they were on a case, and they started dating. So they're. It's her kids with him because they married, but the oldest was she
just a huge Spencer Reed fan.
Because I think everybody kind of takes Spencer in his wing. His mom is schizophrenic, actually played by Jane Lynch. Mm-hmm. So there have been some really nice moments with those two that are just kind of really poignant.
Yeah, no, Spencer is an interesting character. He doesn't really get super tough like throughout the show. He doesn't really evolve to the point where you still don't feel bad for him. In almost every episode, there's a cutie. I would call it moment with Spencer where, you know, you just kind of want to hug him, right?
Did he catfished or something? Like he was in an online relationship. And
yes.
I read that, but I couldn't find the episode.
Yes. I don't remember what season that happens, but for sure. I'm looking up something that really irritated me.
It's just one episode. He gets catfished and then he figures it out. He's a genius.
I'm not 100% sure what happened.
No, I think it happens for a while. So because he's really never had a real relationship.
Right.
And then he meets this girl online, or they start having a phone relationship.
Uh-oh.
And then.
Whoa.
They finally meet up.
Spence.
In person.
Is it really her?
It is her, but somebody kind of intervenes and she's in trouble.
Oh. You can tell us. We're spoiler happy, this podcast.
We did.
I'll still watch it.
I'm still going to watch it, yeah.
Yeah, somebody, I can't remember exactly what happens, but they finally meet up and somebody is holding her. And it's a bit of an intense scene where a gunshot's fired and you think, I thought they hit the unsub.
Got it.
And they actually, because of the way the unsub was holding her, they hit both of them.
And she dies?
Yeah.
Spencer's internet girlfriend dies?
Yeah.
I'm really happy I don't get to some of the episodes in the show.
Yeah.
That's so rough.
And he takes some time off. And
sure.
The team comes over to try and help him out. And
you never want a character to come in that's a romance off, like not one of the main characters. They got to date each other because otherwise people are screwed.
And there's this. Okay, so I just found it. Usually, my favorite episode is when you deal with one unsub and they talk about the unsub, they get the unsub and peace.
You meet the unsub's mom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And their whole family.
Their whole family is there. Very confused.
They are, put away at the end of the episode, however that looks mm-hmm. like. Well, I think this went on for maybe two seasons. There was this character named George Foyette.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, I think one season ended with like a cliffhanger, which God hate a cliffhanger.
Yes.
Every season's supposed to end with a cliffhanger. That's I love worse. Cliffhangers.
But you have Netflix, so the cliffhanger is until you press
count.
The next
right.
button.
Yeah.
Yes.
See, no, I didn't see a lot of the season finales on this show, so they don't end in cliffhangers? You get like a full wrap up and then the next season?
Most of them do, but see, I never thought about the cliffhanger because I was binge watching until we got to the end of
I actually
Netflix.
Really dislike that in television right now. I loved cliffhangers as a kid, like Boy Meets World, every year I needed to know what happened next with Cory and Topanga. I didn't know until I got back there, so the fact that we get instant gratification is very, no, I mean Topanga got down on one knee and proposed. Corey's got to say yes, right? I had to wait a whole summer. And that was nice. It was a good amount of time for that to build up. Okay, anyway, we're talking about something else.
Well, it's true because there's this, I guess with a good cliffhanger, there's this beauty of the moment where in one part of my brain, I can call it the beauty of the moment where you're like, oh, man.
That was so good.
You know, like next week,
yes.
What happens?
Right.
And then for like 2 weeks, you're super pissed because you know that it's not coming next week. You're going to have
not.
To wait like several months.
Mm-hmm.
And then the beauty of it is in my brain, I kind of forget about it. And then when like September, October starts rolling around, you're like, oh, yeah, the cliffhanger.
Are you movie trailer people? If you're very excited about a movie, do you try to steer away from the trailers to not ruin anything or do you watch them all?
If it's a comedy, I don't want to watch the longer trailers
because that's
then
all
you
the
see
good,
all the good
yeah.
jokes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
if it's something action, I don't know.
I'm okay
with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like trailers, for the most part nowadays, seem to give away the whole movie within.
Yeah. I agree with that.
And it's the best parts of the movie.
Really, so honestly.
Like, oh, okay.
And then when you're sitting in the movie and those scenes happen and you know they're funny, they're nowhere near as good as they would have been. So, no, for sure. The reason I ask is because I love movie trailers and I know that I should steer away from them, but I always watch them. And I think it actually just makes the viewing experience better for me when it holds up to what I'm hoping for.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what a good kind of cliffhanger does. It gives me that moment of, I still really love the show, and it reminds me how much I like the show because I desperately want the next episode to happen, but then I have to wait several months Googling what people have said in interviews.
Yes.
I love that part of the process when I'm like, what did he say? And Jon Snow is definitely alive then? Okay, good.
But what about when the show's on the bubble and then there's a
cliffhanger? Oh, that's the worst.
And you have that stress, like, oh my gosh, is it going to come back? And that just happened with Grandfathered and it got canceled.
We were so pissed.
Are you guys okay?
No, I'm not okay.
All right.
They ended it kind of well, they didn't end it good at all because he was left in the
in my mind, I just, after I found out it was canceled, I didn't watch the last episode for a while. Then I went and watched it and I just resolved the story in my mind.
This is the Stamos show.
Yeah. And
so you're both Stamoses?
He's a babe.
Yes, except
also, again, like, not exactly a young man, but sure.
Go ahead. Like, all right, my dad's age.
Okay, though, Rachel, I got to ask you a question about Jon Stamos.
Yeah, please. Let's talk about Jon Stamos, you guys.
No, because...
I'm down.
I love Jon Stamos on Full House.
Mm-hmm.
But then Jon Stamos, like, in older life, I don't know if he's that hot anymore. And it kind of disappoints me.
Whoa.
Ooh.
This is getting drama.
I thought he was hot in Grandfathered more so than Full House, but I was... the age of the Olsen twins while Full House was airing. Okay.
So you didn't think anyone was hot.
Yeah, yeah, no. I mean. Yeah.
What about Fuller House? You guys seen any of that?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, binge watched the whole thing. Oh, yeah. Come on.
Is that just because of the Stamos? Is that what brings you back to the Fuller House?
No.
No. I think for me, I'm going through this odd, like, nostalgia thing of, like, childhood.
Oh, me too.
Like when, you know, Rainbow Brights are coming back, but they look kind of funky. And
My Little Pony. I'm very mad about that, actually. And I was not a huge My Little Pony fan as a kid, but I remember my version of My Little Pony, and I think they're ruining it.
At Target,
I know what's
the other
going
day.
On. They're My Little Human ponies now. They're like half.
Yeah,
they're people
because their eyes are weird.
Yeah, they stand up and stuff.
It's
ponies
like
don't do that.
Too. They look,
oh, that's a, only a certain My Little Pony. I nannied a couple summers ago, and there's two My Little Ponies right now.
There's two My Little Ponies.
One, they look normal, and then one, they're teenagers in high school, and they like walk around.
Hey, exactly. Yeah, I bought these toys for my niece, and I was like, I can't support this. This is and Monster High. Do you guys know what that is?
Yeah. Because
the worst show on TV. Actually is what it is.
But did you guys like Fuller House?
Yeah, I liked it at times.
I did. I think it felt a little bit, acting-wise, it felt a little bit forced.
Yeah, I don't think they're all really great actresses and actors.
But they were
though.
In Full House.
They were also children, and then a lot of them took a long time off.
Like, I don't know, DJ. Like, I think it was their voices. Like, I was so used to, like, again, I invited them into my family home. They were, like, my
family.
And then I guess when they grew up, their voices got a little funky, and I'm like,
They did get really attractive, though. Most of those daughters, they are kind of cute.
Stephanie,
wow.
Whoa.
Stuff happened.
Hold on, Stephanie.
You are a different person, Steph.
You're in a family home.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's not do that so much.
I'm not sure if Candace Cameron aged the best to me.
No, I mean, okay, so yeah.
But did you like Jon Stamos on, coming sort of back to Criminal Minds?
Not sure, whatever.
Jon Stamos is connected to Grandfathered, which is connected to Criminal Minds.
Three bacons.
Did you like him on Fuller House?
But I still thought he looked.
He's producing the show, right? He's producing it. He's the one who put it all together, the Fuller House.
I think Bob
is a fancy comedian guy. He demanded that. But I think Stamos was the one that was like sitting around in his chair somewhere at his house. I don't know what he sits in, probably poolside, thinking, you know what I want to do is bring back Full House, and I'm Jon Stamos, so this can happen. And then he called everyone else except the Olsen twins. They were very much left out of that. Very wisely, I think, too.
Hey, is that... I'm so sorry. You can edit this out if you want.
No, do
but
it.
But is that girl in Civil War, is that their younger sister?
Yes, the much better actress.
She's so beautiful.
Elizabeth Olsen is super cute.
Oh, yeah. She's the good actress.
And she's so good. She's won awards. No, when
she doesn't look emaciated.
Right. Now she looks like a normal human. And she plays the Scarlet Witch. No, exactly correct. And she's won, like, acting awards, and her sisters do interviews about it, and they're like, yeah, whatever, Elizabeth, it's totally fine. I sell shoes now, so you guys, let's talk about shoes.
I'm wearing some of their shoes.
And what?
Yeah.
Are we serious?
Yeah.
You're wearing Olsen twin shoes?
Olsenberg sandals.
Is this the only pair of Olsen twin shoes you have?
I have a lot of their clothes.
Why?
Wow. They're cute.
Sarah, do you have any Olsen twin paraphernalia?
I don't.
Okay. Do they have like, their faces on them and stuff still?
No.
Do you remember when we were kids, they sold like the, it was like their,
everywhere.
I'm assuming their faces are somewhere on those shoes. It's going to have to be something.
And to bring it back to Criminal Minds.
All right. Okay. Thank
Paget
you guys.
Paget Brewster, who was on Grandfathered, was on Criminal Minds. She was probably one of my favorite characters on Criminal Minds.
Why is that?
I just thought she was like a super badass.
Yeah, she was.
Is, yeah, no, and that's good that the show at least had females doing super badass things. There's an episode, I think, where, I think it's her, she gets attacked by a guy, and the guy seems like he has the upper hand, and then she just beats the crap out of someone.
Yep.
And that probably happens a lot, actually, so I don't think I explained something very specific. But I like the fact that in those moments, and the guys are somewhere else, and they could come and save the day, but they do not. She does not need them. She can save them and beat everyone up.
Yeah.
I like that that exists on the show and happens all the time.
And she doesn't die. She leaves the show, and she goes to live in London.
Oh, why?
She gets a position over there, and she decides to...
At Interpol.
Yes.
Like a James Bond? She becomes like a James Bond?
Kind of.
I hope
she's,
so.
She's MI6?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting. I want to see the rest of her life now.
At one point, is it her? Maybe I'm getting her mixed up all of a sudden with Jennifer Giroux. It is her. They have to send her away and pretend like she's dead because of something that happens... In what, like, this crazy Irish mob like after out to get her.
Okay.
So they have to kind of like spirit her away and pretend that she died.
So are there any people, any characters on the show that aren't at some point attacked or have a family member attacked by a serial killer or the mom? Or do they all get attacked?
I love that question.
No, it doesn't all get personal.
Right.
But
everybody,
most of them do, right?
Everybody doesn't have an episode where they're solo in jeopardy. Like, it's just me by myself and someone really wants me dead.
No, you know, for the most part, I think they usually go in teams. Like, there's not... With Emily and the Irish mob, you know, she kind of, like, forged a path and kind of went to go after them herself.
Awesome.
Your guy, Aaron Hotchner, Superman, he's done that before. The one storyline I really couldn't stand with George Boyette, he comes in and actually ends up killing Hotch's wife.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, it's fine. This is how I watch the episodes, too, by the way. When some of this horrible stuff happens, I actually just stop. No, I stop breathing, and I want to pause it and just hold on for a minute.
Well, and that's what I do sometimes when it gets to the scenes. I'm like, well, this could go really poorly. I'm trying to fast forward on the DVR or, like, Netflix, and my husband's like, stop fast forwarding.
We can see it, right?
I know. So then I'll, like, kind of turn away for a minute or just, like, I get really anxious.
If you make it through those, are those the ones that then stop the binge? Are you then like, okay, that was enough?
No, I binged the whole thing.
The one where the guy was collecting body parts, I had to take a long break. Yeah, a long break. He was keeping them in the tub.
I guess now I'm wondering what
there were like hands and stuff. He had like feet and... Sorry, you were wondering?
Now I'm wondering if there's something wrong with me.
No, because I think it's fascinating too. And I was wondering why every time I would come home and my mom was watching it, she'd go, oh, you probably don't want to watch this. And I'd say, you know, Silence of the Lambs is one of my favorite movies, right?
Wow.
And you know what? I have never seen Silence of the Lambs.
Oh, you should watch
it. You would love it.
You should read it first. Ooh. The book is...
Way better.
So much more detailed. That sounds weird.
No, usually the book is always better.
It's good, but she'd be like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to take a Gilmore Girls break so you can watch that with me. Like, she was trying to shield me from the show. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Your
mom's right.
There's so many episodes about women being killed on college campuses.
Yes.
It makes me... I used to walk around at DePaul by myself at night all the time.
Don't do
all
that.
All the time. I'd be like, I don't want to wait for campus security. Man, I was lucky.
You should probably get escorted home now. I don't know if you're going home. It's like 3 o'clock. You should both be escorted by other people. Do not go by yourselves anywhere.
I get freaked out walking down to my car after Saturday Night Special. So I'll just call my mom and have her on the phone. So at least if someone attacks me.
No, what is the point in that? Because I do that too when I'm afraid. And I am afraid. I'm not a very manly man. Why are we doing that? Because the other person will just witness us getting killed, but they can't save us from the other side of the phone.
Well, they know
it's just a mental thing, right?
Like, they can call for help.
Right. But if I'm kidnapped, I'm screwed. In this show, once the kidnapper gets me, if they're not coming to save me, and people die. That's the other thing that surprised me is they would introduce a victim and you'd always assume they're saving the victim, and sometimes they do not make right. it. And I don't know if I like that part. I need to be shielded in this like kind of nice thing of every victim is saved and lives.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of a nice real, not a nice, a nice is a
It's a realistic,
it's
yeah.
a realistic way. Not everybody is going to make it, but
right.
a lot of people do make it.
A lot of people do. Yeah. The BAU does a really great job. What else have we left out so far? Characters, relationships.
Can you talk about the woman who's their boss and she's like an alcoholic or something? I found her fascinating, but I only yeah. saw maybe two episodes with her.
So she is kind of their overlord, like Hotch's boss. And after she leaves the show, which she's actually murdered by an unsub.
See, that's what I'm saying. Everyone, what? Everyone is attacked.
You can't come into the show for a short amount. Jennifer Love Hewitt, she doesn't get killed, right?
No, she leaves.
Thank Jesus. That would have been wrong. Okay, go ahead. You were saying?
Yeah, so she's actually in the show for quite a few seasons. I want to think at least 7 or 8. But she's their boss and kind of overlords over them. So there's certain things that the team maybe wants more autonomy on, and she's like, no. And she actually...
Are they happy she gets killed?
Well, no. I mean, they kind of have that like love-hate
okay, good.
Relationship with her. And
cool.
It's actually kind of a sweet moment when she does die. Like, Hotch is there with her.
He's holding her?
Yeah.
Do they date... Does she date one of the dudes, too?
No.
On the down low?
No.
Maybe it's not even on the show.
I think
maybe
I
it was happening.
Yeah, there might have been some tension at one point. But. Okay.
And this is the same person who's holding her as she dies?
Yeah.
This is Hotch?
Yeah.
What did she say? Do you remember what she says when she's on her deathbed?
That's digging deep.
Really?
No.
She says something like, you know, I'm sorry that I was so difficult to deal with, but I love you guys, and it was just, it's all from love. And then she dies.
And it's actually because of her drinking that she dies. That's
oh, no. I feel like bad making fun of this boy. Now. Okay. The yeah, that was rough.
Well, no. because
half of this podcast, by the way, is you telling us a plot line. And Rachel and I are like, oh.
The unsub poisons her with wine.
So, well, how does he get access to her wine? Don't tell me they're like on a date or something.
No. I don't remember how it happens, but yeah, he poisons her wine. So it's her drinking.
She dies like Joffrey? Can I keep making Game of Thrones references? Do you guys at all watch the show? Does she die? Like, is there gagging?
If I had HBO, I'd totally watch it.
Okay. Or you can get HBO Go for a month for free.
Yeah.
Binge watch Game HBO, of Thrones.
HBO Now is the one you don't even need anything.
HBO
no, HBO Go is if you have like cable and stuff, but
okay.
HBO Now
HBO
is just
now
whatever.
Is a month for free right now.
Yeah, no, and I have HBO Now. Well past that month for free, and it's totally worth it. You guys should both get into that. But Joffrey dies like gagging. If she dies with poison, does she like? How does that go? I'm very curious.
Is it
over the top at all? Does she Bugs Bunny?
No, it was not at all. It was a peaceful death.
Okay.
Did she know she'd been poisoned, or did she just start dying?
No, okay. she knew.
How did she know?
She just knew. Actually, she
sipped the wine glass and she was like, that was poison.
She might have taken one for the team at that point.
She purposefully died?
I'm trying to dig deep on this one. Let me see if I can.
We're going to just take you at your word on that, Sarah.
Yeah,
and now I'm very
sad.
You
should.
You should not drink poison willingly.
Yeah.
That is a recommendation you've been challenged is very comfortable making. Yeah. Never willingly drink poison.
Haven't we seen Romeo and Juliet?
I know, right?
We have.
Read any Shakespeare.
And
you
the
do.
Princess Bride.
Seriously, same thing. Yeah. Although in Romeo and Juliet, that wasn't real poison. So she was tricking everybody, and then Romeo just kills himself.
Yeah, he drinks poison.
You got to give yourself a day, bro. That's what I learned from Romeo and Juliet. Like, sleep on it. If she's dead and you're very sad about that and you want to kill yourself, you should sleep on that and maybe she'll wake up. Sorry, go ahead. We were saying you were Googling something else.
I don't know. Now I'm confused when I'm reading this, so...
What is happening? What are you reading? You're reading a plot line?
Yeah, I was trying to remember who
Did she die?
Wait,
or?
See, I read something that she dated David Rossi. I don't even know who that is.
Oh, well, that's...
I wrote that
That's
down.
Joe
Mantegna. That's where we're going with now because it's not in front of me anymore.
Yeah, Mantegna or Mantegna.
Mantegna.
Craig Carlton.
Yep, that's exactly correct. Heard it both ways.
She may have been with him. Don't remember.
Who dates who? Tell us all the relationships that happen.
Oh, jeez.
Do they all date each other?
No, because,
is this a team where everybody dates everybody?
No, it's not a Shonda Rhimes.
Okay. Okay. Oh. Almost no one dates anyone then?
Yeah, not really.
Got it. Do they date the people that come in and out? Like, does Jennifer Love Hewitt get somebody? It's really just all about Jennifer Love Hewitt.
No, because she's already with somebody when she comes into the team.
Right.
Like, that matters. I'm kidding.
Dun.
Well, I'm thinking Shonda Rhimes. So
Yeah, no, you're right. You're absolutely correct.
And that's why I have to go off Shonda Rhimes, because it's all fine in the beginning, and then she like falls off the cliff, and you're like,
yeah.
What were you going to ask?
Scandal. Oh, does that sexual tension thing between Morgan and Penelope, like, is that just a joke? Or do they ever, like,
So they go out on a date at one point, but it always, there. It's just always really friends. And
why are they friends, though? Why? Because does one not like the other one, or do they both realize that they're better as friends?
Yeah, just have a really cozy, probably better as friends relationship. Okay. That relationship is very interesting to me because I have a very good male friend, and my best girlfriend tells me that, like, she doesn't believe guys and girls can have a close relationship.
Billy Crystal, When Harry Met Sally. Yep.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. So looking at Penelope and Derek together, I'm like, no, they are, you know, really good friends. And yeah, there's a little like.
So you guys are saying you could both be really good friends with Derek Morgan?
Yeah.
You could just be really good friends. That's it.
But they also make a lot of
sexual tension.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be comfortable if my boyfriend had a female friend like that, where they were talking about like.
Stuff.
She was. The one I watched right before I came, she was referring to herself as some kind of like Lamborghini. And then she's like, Oh, baby, I need a tune up soon. And I was like, Whoa.
Do they have relationships?
Speakerphone.
They're both single, though, right? Are they both single or do they have relationships?
Oh, yeah, at different points, they're both, you know, in the game and they're dating somebody.
Right. I mean, flirting with somebody at work, if you're both single, I don't. Well, on the speakerphone probably is a mistake, but, you know.
That was pretty funny.
No, yeah, she'll call him her, like, chocolate, like, milkshake, or, I mean.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Is that a term of endearment, the chocolate milkshake? I'm not sure that you should go there.
I don't know. A little racist.
Just a tad bit of some stuff in there?
Yeah, she'll call him all sorts of, like, things, like, you know.
So that's my point. I guess that's what I'm getting at. It seems like maybe she is totally down for the relationship, and maybe it's just him that's like, no, we're friends.
No, I think that at one point they do something like try and it just doesn't pan out.
Got it.
Will say when he like met his now wife and you know at the end of the season or in coming into season 11 that I was a little sad because I always kind of was
hoping
for
that in the end they'd be together.
Ironically, my husband, he was like, oh no, they'll never be together.
That's interesting. It actually reminds me of how I felt about When Harry Met Sally, or not When Harry Met Sally, excuse me, How I Met Your Mother, because in How I Met Your Mother, everyone wanted Ted and Robin to get back together,
no,
I guess.
No,
I did not.
No.
I did not want that at all. Do you watch How I Met Your Mother?
I liked that.
Yeah.
Oh, you both watch How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother.
I tanked my How I Met Your Mother podcast with Jeff Carlin because all I could talk about was Barney because I sort of have a lot of feelings about Barney and I feel like the whole show could just be about him. Sorry.
How I Met Your Mother is probably the most disappointing thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Outside of Lost.
Oh, guys, I loved the ending of How
I
Met Your Mother.
Drunk, you're drunk.
I hated that.
We're gonna have to BAU understand behaviorally why you would like that because every part of that was poop. It was poop.
But it was
terrible.
It was dumb that she was only in the. I don't know. I just the whole time from the beginning, I was like, I wish there was a way that he could somehow be talking about Robin.
Take a breath, Greg. Take some time. Calm down. It's okay. I need like a stress ball. It makes no sense. Why would they redeem the Barney character so profoundly?
Thank you.
So profoundly redeem him through Robin? And it was actually already happening. There were relationships before Robin where Barney does this,
yeah,
or he finally tells the truth. Yeah, the stripper. There's a few of them though. There's actually a girl that he waits at a coffee shop for when she realizes that he's a liar who's been a player for a long time, and then he waits for days and then tells her everything. Tells her all these. He burns his playbook. Then he actually burns his playbook
for Robin.
Yeah, but I didn't like them together.
They're so perfect for each other. Actually,
Robin. Yeah. Robin. Okay. To be fair, I don't really like Robin or Ted. I just think they deserve each other. I thought Barney should have stayed with, I'm sorry, I can't remember her name, the stripper.
The stripper was great.
I loved them together.
She even came back in the episode where he's on his bachelor thing, and she was great in that. She's great in those moments.
So why did he have to be with Rob? Like, it was just weird.
The reason he had to be with Robin is because, and this is now officially a How I Met Your Mother podcast, the reason that he had to be with Robin is because... Now I'm getting lost. The reason that Barney had to be with Robin is they're the same person in a lot of different ways. Robin is not as bad as Barney. She's not. She's a girl. She's not a guy. She's not like the womanizer or manonizer.
She's the female version.
She's the female version of him. No, she. All the things that were the problem between her and Ted is why she was such a perfect pick for Barney. And they didn't even do that on purpose. The show did that by mistake.
But don't you want someone who's not exactly the same as you? Don't you want someone that's a foil to you?
They fought. They disagreed.
Let's get your wife in here. And
let's get my wife in here. No, it's fine.
Is she the female version of you?
No, my wife is from Mexico. She's totally different than me. She's sweet, like soft-spoken. Everything about her. She's a better human.
So you want like to be with someone who's not
now,
the
hold
female
on.
Version of
now,
you.
Now, hold on, though.
Oh,
no, wait.
Okay.
Now, wait a minute. There's some things that happen, though. There's some instances in which we are similar, some ways in which we were raised, some stuff. Like, there's things that you connect on, and those are the most beautiful parts of a relationship.
Right.
And whether it's just the fact that they are so similar... No, I'm doing it. I'm
just
going here.
That we're talking
no, I can't.
This.
I can't not. I can't not. And by the way, Ted doesn't matter at all to my watching of How I Met Your Mother.
Ted is lame.
I agree. Because when I saw you did the podcast with Jeff Carlin, I'm like, oh, that show.
Oh, you should have. Yeah. No, exactly. I ruined it. We did like 45 minutes and all I could talk about was Barney. Also, the mother. Fantastic.
Oh, the best. The most beautiful person
Rachel
ever.
Is so. Oh. She's so crazy
Everyone
right
now.
Sarah, the other reason that we like that relationship so much, the reason that like we didn't want any of them to fold is the mother.
Yes.
If the mother had been disappointing at all to us, which apparently she was to you. But
okay.
She's like the perfect
Christine
woman.
Milliot, or
oh,
however you say
beautiful.
Her name. She's so great.
I didn't think she should have died.
No!
That just clipped.
I just totally screamed into the mic. I couldn't. That wasn't on purpose. I apologize to both of your headphones, your ears. That literally came out of me. That, okay, well, let's get back to it. She should not have died.
The whole thing, I honestly can say, because I've actually been thinking about writing a blog on this. Like, I get
so
fired up about it.
Do it. Fan service it.
I feel so used.
I do, too.
And here's why.
Ah, so manipulated.
Well, that is true.
I kept coming.
They tricked me.
Here's the thing. Like, I did not get into that show right at the beginning. I did not go back and binge, like, every single episode. So, you know, I would have to get tutored on like, oh, who that person is, or kind of like how they all like weave in and weave out. But I would get home and my husband would be watching that darn show. I'm like,
good call, husband.
And then, you know, at a certain point, you kind of, because I live with him by default, I'm like, well, gotta start watching the show.
That's how I watch The Voice and The Bachelorette.
Yeah. And, and same thing, it happened with Big Bang Theory for me too. And you kind of get like sucked into this world. And, you know, then it became a big deal with my best friends. Like, we, for the last two series, we'd like get together.
Oh, yeah.
We even had a suit up night.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's beautiful.
You and your female friends suited up.
Yeah. We
that
all,
is the best thing I've ever heard.
My best friend, Allie, she planned a suit-up night. She said, one day you're going to get the call, and you're all just going to suit up.
Yep, and you better do it.
So we suited up. We went to Lady Gregory's in Andersonville.
I love that.
She, my friend Allie did magic tricks a la Barney.
She can do magic?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
So they all hate the show. All your friends think it's terrible.
And then we get to the end, and we're like, I was like, what rubbish is this?
But don't you think that Ted, it was kind of unfair to the mother lady anyways, because he was clearly so in love with Robin. And the fact that he sat his kids down for 100 years and talked,
oh my God.
And it was mostly about
kids.
Robin. Like, they were like, Dad, just go. It's creepy that they called him Aunt Robin, but they're like, okay, Dad, whatever. Like,
yeah, at the end when they say go with Aunt Robin.
It would have been inappropriate if he had told them all of that. All of the weird stuff with Robin and everything, and all his other girlfriends, which is still weird that he told them. And then Ben like, so, and then their mom walks in and she's like, oh, what have you guys been talking about?
Aunt Robin for 100 days.
Aunt Robin for like 12 years.
Ever. No, you're right. It was a very clever kind of add to the show to acknowledge the fact that the mother was barely in it. But that also was the promise at the beginning. I hate shows that promise me something at the beginning and then they screw it up.
He fulfilled it. He told them how
the mom's not supposed to be dead. I don't want to hear a story about a dead mom for eight seasons.
No,
I mean, the whole concept is silly though, because he's like, let me tell you how I met your mom, but I need to start 9 years before I met her.
Well, that's the thing. The show had a couple problems. First, it didn't actually plan that. It planned for Robin to just be his friend the whole time. And then after the first or second season and they get together and everybody likes it, they're like, okay, this was the right relationship. We screwed the pooch here. And then also, it should not have been 8 seasons long.
But
a show like that should have been like 4 seasons at absolute most and then ended.
But if they had ended the first season, wasn't she supposed to be the mother?
What do you mean? By the end of the first, no, Robin had, in the like, very first episode, they created a pilot episode for the show with an idea that they would eventually introduce a different character. And the actress that played Robin was not very well known or anything. Mm-hmm. So the idea in the first episode is that she would become a group of friends. That's why they ended on, "And That's How I Met Your Aunt Robin." So the one pilot was supposed to be a tease,
yes,
but I not actually be the mom. And then by the second season, Josh Radnor, the character who plays, the guy who plays Ted, started to say that it really seems like maybe we're missing, and he was involved in meetings and stuff. And so they go to him after two seasons and say, "You know what? We're going to end the show with you getting with Robin." So it wasn't until the second season was completed that they'd officially made that decision.
Okay, but so he knew and he was okay with it.
Because he's crazy and
so
he's
I'm
getting
not the
money.
Only person
Josh
who's
Radner's
crazy.
Just on Broadway if he's got
right,
nothing else.
No, yeah.
You
got
to say yes to the writers no matter what it is.
Forget it.
And then I'm going to lose a leg? Sure, that works with my character.
Well, and in the defense of me and Craig, there are so many people out there in this world.
We don't have to defend ourselves.
Well, okay, I know we don't have to defend
We're the ones that are right.
But we are right because
Rachel has to defend herself.
Millions of people behind us agree with us.
And right. millions
wrote,
of people agree with me.
They wrote an alternate.
Those are crazy people.
They wrote an alternate ending.
Yep,
the way
where she doesn't die.
Where she doesn't die.
Thank you.
Do you think that's a cop-out? They were like,
because
oh,
they were wrong.
Make another episode.
She can't die. That makes
can
no
they get
sense.
Divorced?
Why would you kill it in one episode, too, by the way? Why would you drag everything out? Then we finally get to meet her in that last season.
She can die really
And we
quick.
Do it progressively. And then in one episode, they go from married to... And they teased it the episode before. The episode before she dies, there's a moment where they flash forward and he's like worried about her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she walks off or something. And when that happened, I was like, this cannot happen. No. I will not watch the next episode. And then I watched it. I watched it live and I cried. It was very sad. I've cried a lot. I think I've admitted.
Like, we got married. Then your mom got sick.
Right.
Now we're
Now she's super dead.
But what if the mom had been alive and she'd been standing outside the doorway hearing that whole story? Like, she would have been pissed. They would have got divorced anyway.
No, because here's the thing. I think we all have pasts or there's that one love. Who,
that one beautiful
you know,
friend.
Yeah.
You were saying this before.
Yeah, who
this is,
like,
yeah.
you know, kind of got away. The one that got away.
Okay, and both of you sit here with your spouses and you talk about the one that got away.
I don't know one that got away. I was never interested in women until I met my wife.
I know I didn't.
I had no interest in ladies.
Yeah, okay, sure, guys.
My
yeah,
my
really
husband
relatable.
Was the first one.
Really true.
Who,
I only. Yep. I never at any point saw another woman, and now I don't see them either. So
right,
it's just the one time.
Yeah. That's
yep.
weird. So do we have like guys. Blank?
You guys are just you're amorphous blobs. That's all I see now.
It's
I see
like
a bunch of amorphous blobs.
Like Black Mirror. Have you seen that where they can like block people?
Yeah. That's exactly correct. This is all, okay. We got a little off topic though. I don't know which show we're talking
okay,
about anymore.
So I got it. I can bring it back. So on How I Met Your Mother, Marshall and Lily are very like cheerful. Oh, let's make everything better. Kind of throw away, just like Penelope.
What?
Brings a little bit of cheer and sunshine to episodes.
Way to bring it back. Rachel.
Yeah, that is very nicely done. Yeah, that's very nicely done.
I like the segue.
But I do like that about her because you'd be watching and you'd be really upset because all these young women are being murdered, and then she
yep,
comes
exactly.
in and it doesn't seem inappropriate for her to make a joke because she's in an office. She's not there.
Right.
Seeing,
can
I mean,
we talk about how often she fails at her job, by the way? Because like in the first
never?
Season specifically, no. It's quite a bit. In the first season, they're calling her and they're like, hey, we need the person who's really good at stuff. And then she gets on the phone. She's like, I can fix any problem. And then can you trace this phone number? Nope, can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
That happens a whole bunch. Does that go away? Does she finally start getting every single one fixed and we're fine?
Or
is she too...
anyone?
Is she too easy of a solution? Every time maybe they wrote a problem, they're like, well, they could always call her, but...
Well, she does get tripped up by something because in a later season, she's actually getting hacked by this whole, like, sting group online.
Whoa.
And, you know, she becomes really fearful because all of a sudden, like, the BAU needs to help her, whereas, you know, before she's always
Who does the hack group kill?
Else.
Does the hack group kill somebody?
Yeah.
I'm assuming they kill somebody. Probably a family. Right. Probably take a whole family down. Okay, well, all right. I think we've reached the point where we can go ahead and ask for anything we've left out. If there's anything else that you think that we haven't covered, I do a very poor job of covering the entire show within a 50-minute podcast. So you tell me if there's one thing that has to be mentioned about the show, what would it be? Tough question.
It is a tough question, actually. Yeah. I don't know. There's just something about it that really it hits a nerve with me.
Yeah.
And
you like other shows like this? You like Law and Order?
I like Law and Order, but I like how this is different from a Law and Order because mm-hmm. Law and Order, you see a little bit of the crime, but it's more about
the legal
the
process,
court process, which is annoying. Right. And, yeah.
You don't see any legal stuff.
Yeah,
in
this
show.
Is more, you know, I like getting into the psychology of minds, like yes. how people are, you know, doing this and, you know, how.
But all it's so cut and paste. I mean, I don't know what it's like for a doctor to watch House, but, and I'm certainly not a psychology like professor of any kind, but the things they do are so generic. Some of the ways that they describe people psychologically, it's such a generic kind of example of something that it actually frustrated me too when they figure this guy out and that this is the only way in which his profile exists and that it's just that he had a bad childhood, he had this, he had that. That I don't know if that frustrates you at all if you guys delve into the, you know, psychology stuff of it.
I never thought about that
because that's the one thing to me that at times pulled me out of it, that they solve things so quickly and it was always the most obvious generic kind of
I don't think they
thing.
Always come back to like he had a tough childhood.
No, I know. I don't mean that specifically, but there's always.
You must have watched some bad episodes in a succession where they're like, "Oh, he has a bad childhood.
This guy has
but
a bad childhood."
Like Gideon, in the first episode, I think they flash back to how he caught that.
Yeah, first
one
second
big
episode,
killer
first
in
season.
Boston, and he says, "Oh, well, I knew the guy would have had a stutter." That I was like,
exactly. Yeah, right.
You
because
could
obviously
say maybe stutter, right. But yeah. Don't. Say he has a stutter, and then the dude has a stutter.
Right.
And then you run into him at a gas station.
Exactly
but
correct.
And
he had a whole bunch of pictures of victims and stuff just sitting out there at the gas station. How did anybody else that went to that gas station not notice he was a murderer? I mean, that guy. Sorry, go ahead.
What I will say, though, too, is like they are fallible people. Like things yeah. can happen to them. Like certain cases are revisited where, hey, remember that case here? Like this guy's coming back or... So, you know, not everything is always tied up into a neat little puzzle. And I have to admit, I love the beginning and the ending with the quotes.
Yeah, that is cool.
Oh, the nice little narration.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, some sort of quote by, you know, a thinker or a poet or right. somebody that kind of ties into the episode.
It is a good show. I bashed it quite a bit, but part of that was just me binge watching it and being sad.
And
but
you know,
it is a good show. It's well done.
I'm not sure if it's coming back.
It's been renewed.
No, not this. They've done a couple spinoffs.
Yes.
Which have not taken off. And I've watched some of the spinoffs, but the most recent spinoff has been Criminal Minds Beyond Borders.
Ooh.
Where they go to
Mexico.
Other countries. They did do a Mexico one.
Nice.
They've been to, I think, Thailand.
Who are the leads of that? Are they people from this show?
No. Gary Sinise.
Oh.
Is
one
of.
Oh, all right.
Okay,
and so they still kill a lot of people and still murder, rape, all that stuff. Very sad.
I mean, nah.
Could there be like a positive episode? Could like a clown go missing and then they just find the clown and it's really awesome?
And he was just picking flowers.
Yeah,
oh.
he's like just watching children somewhere. Just a really
wait,
nice
no,
dude.
No, that's weird.
Okay, wait. Yep, the way
children.
I said that. Okay, the way.
He was.
Uh huh. Yeah, I meant that
a birthday party, and he forgot
right.
to tell them.
I meant well, okay. I meant that in like a good way, because in the show, you're right. The way the show would do it, all the kids are very much in danger.
Clowns are super creepy, though.
They're not though. They can be lovely and nice, like you know, not an intense clown. Did you guys watch? I got to ask you this question now because he's sort of like a clown, kind of a mime. Did you guys, by any chance, watch America's Got Talent? The episode that just happened, Simon Cowell, he's on the TV.
Yeah.
A guy walks out on stage with just tape on his face, and he's Tape Face Boy is his name.
Oh my
but
God.
I'm not even going to explain to you his talent. Watch it. He's hilarious and amazing, and he's clown-esque. He's scary-esque, but then super entertaining.
Tape Face Boy.
Tape Face Boy is like a clown.
He might need to work on his name.
Visually a little bit disturbing, but then you let the clown perform, and he's hilarious and nice, and everybody loves him.
Wait, is it like the clear tape, where you like stretch out your feet?
Yeah, no, it's duct tape. You just got a black piece of duct tape on his face, and he doesn't speak any words to anyone, but he's awesome and people loved him, and that's why I like clowns, I think.
Maybe he'll go missing next season.
I don't know how those points connect, but that's what I'm saying about that. Tape Face Boy is the proof and why we should like clowns.
Tape Face Boy should be on season 12 of Criminal Minds.
They're gonna kill Tape Face Boy.
No, it's the happy episode.
There is no happy episode.
To show you my varied like Jekyll and Hyde sides,
yes,
it would be Criminal Minds and Call the Midwife as my two favorite shows.
Yes, those are very Jekyll and Hyde. Those are very, very different. Do you watch Gilmore Girls? Do you like that?
I've never watched Gilmore Girls.
I think you would like
binge
it.
Binge that before it goes away.
Yeah.
It won't go away.
It's not going to go away. It's can't go
actually,
away.
I think it's on my...
Your queue?
My
queue,
it. You'll
yeah.
be
you ready?
Obsessed.
Yeah.
I watch it on a constant loop.
Yeah, nobody dies. Stopping. So it'll be very...
Well, people die, but not important people.
Yeah,
there's at one point, a woman dies, and then they're happy because they can buy
They do celebrate a death. Actually, I made a joke about that happening in Criminal Minds. It definitely did happen on Gilmore Girls. They did celebrate an old lady's death. Well, this is You've Been Challenged. I'm Craig Collins. Thank you, Sarah, for the suggestion this week. It was an awesome show. Thank you, Rachel, for sitting in. This has been very fun. And you also, go ahead real quick, say the other podcast you do, you guys just celebrated a anniversary of some kind. That was a great episode, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I like the editing. Everything about it was really well done.
Thanks. Artistic license. We do a bunch of different kinds of art. Our latest ones are jujitsu and improv.
Nice.
And then I have an interview coming up on Sunday with Bill Anderson, who is a very famous country music legend in the Hall of Fame and everything. And then also an interview with... The week after that, her name's Val Worthington. She's was one of the first female black belts in jiu-jitsu.
Wow.
Super kick-ass, super interesting. And then I think we're going to do some coverage of UFC.
Sure, why not?
Some art stuff. So it's very different, and any kind of art you like, you can probably find something.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of variation, a lot of variety, very cool show. All right, well, this is Craig with You've Been Challenged. Come back next week where I might eventually start doing my Game of Thrones stuff again. Thank you.